Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
We're going to go back to school with our devices.
Oh, and I'm going to show you a great way to plan the next subway adventure.
And if you've ever wanted to send a postcard from Google Earth to pretend like you were someplace fancy, we'll show you.
I've got FOMO next on iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. iOS Today time, the time where we look at our iOS devices, whether it's the iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, or Apple TV. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
How has your week been?
It's been good so far. Going back to school. So it's about a week. No more camps.
You have three kids.
I have three children.
Two going into
seventh grade.
Seventh. So middle school, and one going into high school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes. So all the
That's a big deal for both.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is a big deal. And I need some help from our trusty iDevices.
Well, fortunately, these are, first of all, many schools use them, but also I think. Even if your school doesn't have one, but you have an iPad, even an older iPad lying around, they're nice for the kids to have.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them I don't know, I feel like, especially those ages, they like touch. They like the touch screens.
They do, yeah. Yes. So let's start with some stuff to organize our stuff.
This is where I think the iPad sings, and the iPhone.
Well,
you're talking physical.
Yeah, so especially good for someone going off to college, but high school too, because you have to charge everything.
Oh, look at that.
You have one too, but this is the cocoon.
You have the big cocoon.
Oh, yeah, I have the big cocoon.
I have the bitty cocoon.
Oh, look at your little cocoon.
But what this is how do you describe it? It's an organizer for your briefcase or your backpack that has just a bunch of rubber elastic bands, so it doesn't dictate to you.
No, it doesn't, because I've tried these before. We got that one from the Levenger catalog that had, but it's like you have to have a certain amount of cables, but this one you can have whatever. And I even use like my little cord taco from This Is Ground. I use it to make the cord. This is my Apple Watch cord, and then you just slide it right under there. I have the laptop size and you have the iPad size. So this just goes right up against your laptop in your bag and it stays flat. It doesn't fold up or anything. And then I can
It's got stiff cardboard in it.
Yeah, so here is...
That's the nice thing. It can hold things of really any size or shape.
Yeah, so this is my portable drive. And I can put that
batteries.
There.
I've got the charger for my iPad.
Cables.
And the cables I need.
Do you have a pen?
A card reader. Well, you were mentioning the cable organizers, and this is an example. I have cable organizer as well, and these are very limited. They're good for cables. And then the nice thing is they can make a messed up cable much, much more organized, right? And you have the one from Levenger. This says boobum. Unique by myself. Boobum.
Boobum.
Boobum. I don't know where I got
boobum.
This.
Boobum.
But so that's an example, but that's very limited, isn't it? A nice compact way if you're just going to stow it in a briefcase or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
This I like because this actually fits in the partition of my briefcase. It's intended for a computer or a laptop. So if you just need cables to bring around. That's funny. You know, Andy Inoko has recommended these for years. And I like it. It's got a little... holder, so you could hang it when you get to where you're going. You could hang it on a hook. That would make it easy. And on the back of mine, and I think you two have a zippered pouch for the stuff that you just really don't want to like get away.
Well, especially, I mean, this is good for iPads, but there's so many dongles involved. Like, we ended up getting Annabella the MacBook Pro,
right,
the brand new one, and so many dongles she's going to have.
Well, that's interesting.
High school girl going to school with all those dongles.
You agonized on that search of what to get.
I did, and I'm very pleased. We got it refurbished, so
we were thinking of getting an Air, but you decided to get the Pro instead.
Yeah, so she could edit video, and she has been doing that in the summer. She loves it, and it's got the better screen. She watches a lot of Grey's Anatomy on it.
I think a better screen
it,
is when you're looking at Anatomy, you want every detail possible.
And I meant the TV show.
Oh, right? The TV show.
But that's going to get, I feel like she doesn't even need medical school because she's watched all nine seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I know. It's all there. It's like, I don't have to go to law school because I watched The Good Wife, and so I'm set.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
We'll, I know how it works.
Write romance novels or be a doctor. One of the two. So the Cocoon Gridit, I don't know. How much is yours? Mine was $17. Yours is probably
I can't remember,
$15.
To be honest.
Yeah,
yeah,
the smaller version.
They offer, I think, multiple sizes. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing where you might buy a couple. I got one in red for Lisa and the black one for me. That way she could tell which was her stuff and which was my stuff. Because when you look at it right away, it's hard to tell which is which. So.
Yeah, and when you look at it, when I first looked at it online, I thought maybe it folded, but it doesn't. It's just flat.
Yeah, it's designed, I think it's designed really to go where, yeah, there you go, where your laptop would go in a backpack or a briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think it's, the flexibility is what I really like. It doesn't, because of that though, hold maybe as much as you'd think for something of that size. It's got all these straps. You think it should hold 100 different things, but it does hold it very securely.
It does. Yeah, yeah. You could. I didn't even shake it around, but yes.
Shake it up.
Shake it. Okay. Yeah,
no,
one shake,
right.
Just to show the truth
show.
In advertising.
That wasn't. Yeah, that wasn't a joke. Well, don't shake it that much. You see, you're going to lose your hard drive there.
Let's try again.
I brought something else. Remember we were talking, this is another Andy Inako recommendation.
Oh, Andy.
We were talking, I showed you last week the iClever keyboard, which is a Bluetooth keyboard that folds up so compactly you can throw it in your purse or briefcase and you kind of have a keyboard. It isn't a smart keyboard, so it'll work with any iPad, and they all support Bluetooth keyboards. You're using Apple's official Bluetooth keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Which is maybe the best keyboard, if you're thinking about it in terms of keyboard, but it's not very compact. So Andy said, and he showed us, he had a box of all the foldable portable keyboards in the world. This is one from Zag. It's actually less expensive than the iClever. It's under $30. And it folds in a unique way. So it's long and thin. It's about, looks like maybe a pencil case. You can see that the port for charging it is micro USB. That's the only thing about most of these I don't like is... they're still micro USB. Yours is Lightning, which is also a little less convenient than maybe Type-C. I'd like to see Type-C on everything going forward because that's everything then can use the same charger.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of interesting, the way it unfolds. You see the light came on immediately because it's got to be charged. And it is a little smaller than a full-size keyboard. I have to say that's one thing I don't like about it. But Andy's point is that because the fold is horizontal across the keys as rather than vertical across the middle, he feels it's a little more stable. You know, I don't feel like the iClever was less stable. And then this is a little slot. What's neat is you could hold your iPad with that or an iPhone with that.
Oh.
So it also eliminates the one thing I really hated about the iClever, which was the weird shift key. It's got a normally placed, normal size shift key on the left and right. The arrow keys are below. It doesn't have all the Apple keys, though. That's another disappointment. But it does have a home key. You have to press function and home to use it. But this is what Andy says he prefers. Key travel is good, and as you can see, as soon as I opened it, it kind of woke my iPad up. It said, "Oh, wait, you want to type something? Okay, we can do it." And now I can type right. So I've been trying the very different keys, and you can see in my notes I've written the keycaps are relatively tiny. I find with my big sausage fingers I don't type quite as accurately. I have to say, of the keyboards I've tried, still as much as I didn't like this one, Logitech Slim Combo, because it's a case and a keyboard, it's a smart connector, so I don't have to charge it. It gets its power directly from the iPad. I really like the keys and the layout, and it has all the iPad keys, as you can see. So this might be more expensive, $125, less expensive than the Apple Smart Keyboard. But of the three now, the iClever, the Zag, and the Logitech Slim Combo, I think this is the best keyboard. You probably have the best keyboard, but it's a little less portable, and it does require charging.
Yeah, it requires me to carry it separately. So yeah. I've showed this off before, but,
case.
it's the Studio Neat canopy. And so I just carry it around. It looks like a little nice little wallet. And then that has the magic keyboard, which you might already have laying around. And then,
these are things, by the way, if you're going to go back to school, this is back to school stuff because you're not, I think the knock on the iPad is it doesn't have a keyboard.
Exactly.
And when you're writing papers, you don't want to write on the glass screen. Even kids who've grown up with that, I think it's not a good choice.
No, our school district in Petaluma gives everyone iPads, mm-hmm. but no keyboards. I think maybe the high schoolers get keyboards, but I think if your kids have an iPad that you're using for school, get them one of these. Because
Absolutely.
What my boys end up doing is using Siri, like just to when they have to type things because they're,
it's hard to type.
Boys. It's hard to type. So they need to learn how to type. And so if you force them to use the keyboard, that's what they're going to, once they start to write longer papers, they're not going to be able to dictate to Siri so much.
Yeah. I also think that, sadly, Apple has really taken a wrong turn on its keyboards. And the newest Mac laptops, the MacBook and the MacBook Pro from 2016 and 2017, have really abysmal keyboards. So I think that's a shame because I think even these kind of cheapo portable keyboards are better than the MacBook Pro keyboard. Mm-hmm. Did Annabella's MacBook Pro, is it the newest edition or because you got it refurbed, is it last year's, which would have a better keyboard, frankly?
It's the newest one that came out like with the touch bar, without the touch bar, and it's without the touch bar.
Oh, yeah. That's the
so
one I
the,
have, too.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a good choice.
Yeah.
I don't find the touch bar useful.
No.
But and she probably won't mind the keyboard. It's probably because I grew up with a keyboard that has more
yeah.
travel.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like more travel.
I think it's fine for, and refurbished just probably means someone.
How much did you save?
$300.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a savings, but enough to make it. And yes, exactly right. It's not that it was used for days or weeks or months mm-hmm. or years. It was somebody opened it, said, I want the touch bar. This doesn't have a touch bar. And send it back. Apple can't sell it as new. Mm-hmm. So you get actually a very, I think, right. $300 off for that is great.
All right. So you're going back to school. And your kids have spent the summer on Snapchat and on...
They're basically illiterate now.
Yeah. They've forgotten
everything they learned.
Yes. And so you want to put some control. You want to exercise some control
yes.
over your children. And
yes.
you can tell them a bunch of times, get off your phone. You have to go do your homework. And they will say, but my homework is on my phone. But I need to chat with my friends about my homework. It's just a constant battle I have found with two 12-year-olds and a 14-year-old. And I had vowed to never use any kind of software that will control them because all you have to do is talk to your kids. You probably heard me say that. And yes, it's great to talk to your kids, but it's also good to have some kind of app to help. And so I've been using HourPact.
HourPact.
I might have told you about this before, but it's what it is. It's a device profile. So that's how it works. So you have to connect your children's devices mm-hmm. to HourPact, and you add this profile to their devices. So I have Huck and I have me. I added me there just in case Marco needs to control me when I get to use devices.
I like the robot.
And Milo. So here's what I can do, and I can do this from my iPad, or you probably will end up doing it from your iPhone. You can schedule. So you can schedule time. Here I have bedtime. You can schedule time that they can...
Forget bedtime. What about wake up time? That's the one I need.
Well, this is the time they cannot use their devices. And then
so this locks out the iPad during sleep.
Right. And it has a family locator, which is nice. You always want to know if your kids
That's are like in Harry Potter where they had that clock that would show where everybody was. Mm-hmm. That is pretty cool. So as long as they're all using iOS devices, is that
Yes, they have to all be using iOS devices. So then I can set app rules for certain rules. So they say, you know what, I need to use my compass for work. My school work. I need to use Gmail.
Great. In fact, schools might want to use this to lock out games.
Right. So, like, do you need house party?
No.
I don't know.
Turn that one off.
Yeah, you can just block that
video
individual.
Conferencing.
Instagram, do you need Instagram for homework? I'm going to guess no. So you always blocked, or you can block it during a certain time, blocked by schedule. So, they can use Instagram.
What if they downloaded a new app? Does it...
It shows up in here, yeah.
It does, but you may not have controls over it. Although, is there a way to say block it? Yeah, look, block anything new until I approve it? Like, only use stuff I approve? Can you set that?
Well, I already have it set so they can't download. I have to prove everything that
they can't
download.
Even download anything.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they, I have to approve everything.
You are tough.
I am tough. Mm-hmm. So this is a time allowance. So let's say, I know Georgia Dow does, you know, if the kids do a certain amount of chores, they get a certain amount of, right. Or if they're, you know, polite for a certain amount of time.
So organized.
She is, yeah. So you can say, oh, you just earned, you know, today's Tuesday. I'm at work all day. So you're going to probably get, let's say all day you'll be on that.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And then you
this
can automatically
great.
Block. So, like, let's say they were being sassy, and I say, you know what? I'm just going to block your device.
I'm going to block it because of the sass.
Instead of that, like, embarrassing, like, chasing after them and trying to grab the iPad right. from the
This end. Looks really useful. And I presume there's a parental code that mm-hmm. only you can go in there
yes.
and change it.
Yeah.
How much is this, and what is it
this
called?
This is a monthly, it's called Our Pact. And there's regular Our Pact that has a few features, and then there's Our Pact Premium, so yeah. you can look.
So you pay
through.
A monthly fee for
yes,
it.
Yes, a
per
monthly
user or
no, just for
your
whole
family.
Family. So you can.
So for you, you get a deal because you get all those. Kids.
I got all those
you get
kids.
A deal
and me that needs to be on it too.
This is complete screen time management. That's nice.
So
okay. So I was hearing Our Pact, HOURPACKED.
Oh, no, Our, like we're all in this together.
So this makes a lot more sense. Well, maybe not. I thought Our Pact, like your hours packed with fun. But this is not that. It's Our, like your and mine, Ours Pact. It's like a compact. OURPACT, Our Pact
and it
with
like
one
it's
another.
Android. You can be on Android, too.
Oh, this is so great.
I don't have
Look
any of my kids are yeah. not on Android. So
this looks awesome.
Now, I showed this a little bit off when it first came out. And what it did when you add a new profile, then it would scramble all the kids' apps. Have you ever seen that happen before? So, like, if you add a new profile, then all of a sudden, like, all your apps go
oh,
to the
I hate
same
that.
Thing. Yeah, so they fixed that.
Oh, good.
That's part of the premium, unfortunately. You have to pay for that because they have to make money. But... yeah, so now, because that was when I first tried it with my kids, and they were like, what? I have all my apps organized into folders,
oh,
and you just
so
mess them
frustrating.
Up.
That's so frustrating.
So they fixed that, so that's not
Thank
a problem
you.
Anymore, which is nice.
OURPACT, Our Pact.
Our Pact.
I really like that. That would be very handy. Let me ask you a question. This is a tough question, especially now that kids have multiple computers. It used to be we had one, you know, the kid had one computer, and there was always the question, can I put it in my room? Can I put it in my room? And for the longest time, we insisted that Michael, who's 14, he's going to high school as well, have it in a public space so that we could, you know, I think, and I recommend this to parents, so that you can walk by once in a while and see what they're up to. Now, I do have parental controls because we have an Eero, and I've turned those on for Michael's devices. But as kids have gotten phones and iPads too, you know, they're going to bring their phone in the bedroom. You can't say, well, okay, leave your phone and your iPad out here outside the room. So I've kind of given up, and I'm wondering what you think. We just yesterday said, all right, he said, can I please have my computer in my room? Going into high school. Oh, are you showing me some creepy ad about why kids should not have
kids
computers
today.
In their room?
Okay.
This is the Our Pact website.
Look how happy those parents
yeah,
look.
They're happy because they're locking their kids out. So I'm wondering, we yeah, she's not happy. I'm not happy.
That's
so sigh. we have moved. We just yesterday we said okay, and it's he mostly plays. In fact, entirely plays games on it. But I'm hoping he'll start doing. He has a Chromebook, so he could do computer the homework on the Chromebook. But I'm thinking it might be good to have a full size computer. Anyway, we allowed him to move that into the bedroom. You think that was a mistake?
I think I would not judge another parent's choice.
That's me too. I wouldn't either.
I yeah. think that, yeah, we don't have any desktops. We have all portable computers. And so we had an area downstairs in the library, which was the charging area. We had a bunch of like
Smart.
The Anker, you know,
right.
five US,
Smart.
Like five lightning cables. And so everything went there. Everything went there when you weren't using it.
And that kind of the requirement is if you go to bed, you don't bring it with you.
No, at 8 o'clock. It all goes there. Right. And my goodness, do we get a lot of...
A
we are not our kids' friends.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that, which
well,
we're not supposed, to be,
not supposed to be.
But like every other kid in the entire world gets to keep their phone after 8 o'clock.
Even this kid. Even this kid. Yeah. Look at that. See, he's under the covers.
So yeah.
Why do you keep showing this, Kevin? I don't want to see this anymore. This is mean, this poor kid.
So
here we go. She's going to go... You're right, though. Kids complain. At the same time, golly, I also feel like they need to. What are the things we're teaching them is, and don't do so well as ourselves as parents, is how to kind of moderate their use of these devices. So I think that's really good.
Well, okay. So then the other thing is, you know, even back in our day, there was a challenge of our parents having to, like, how strict are you until your kid just rebels, right?
Right.
And so that's still a problem with these devices. So we had all the kids, when their friends came over, they had to put them here.
Wow.
Yes. And and then we found sometimes I would get up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water and go down there
what?
And they would be gone. And
right.
So now everything is in our room. So, you know,
it's gonna get
everything
worse.
Is
pretty soon you're gonna have a locked cage.
Yeah. And then it's just constant flexibility, constant conversation.
All right, all the devices go in the cage at 8 p.m. and we're locking
Faraday
it till the. But see, do you bring your phone and pad
yes,
to bed?
I do. I mean, it used to be that it was in the other room, but now I have this nice charger that charges my Apple Watch, and I just keep it there because the kids are gone so much, like spending the night at people's houses. I'm going to bed before they come home.
Where they're allowed to probably keep their
That is the other
phones.
Thing. Yes, that is. We also found that there was a lot of, can I sleep over at someone else's house?
It's a real problem because kids will stay up all night. I mean, you know, you would probably too. In fact, when we first got these devices, many of us did. In fact, that's why I'm here late. I just got a device. But if you have this software, if you have RPACT on there, at least that keeps them, even if they have it, from using it. And they will. And then they'll be very tired the next day for school. And I don't know. On the other hand, I want them to learn the lesson of, we'll see what happens when you do that. So I'm very mixed on this. It's not fully up to me. Michael's mom kind of really decides that. And you know. We talked about it. She said, yeah, well, I think we're going to let him have his computer in his room. But we're going to say, keep the door open, and we're going to peek in all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a,
that's
it's
the
a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, we let them use them in their rooms during the day. But then we've had all kinds of rules, like no FaceTiming.
But they don't have
friends.
A desktop, so you can't move the desktop back and forth.
No. That's that is the problem, because that was what we were always heard.
He's gaming, and that's the thing. He needs a high-end desktop. He can't do it on a laptop. He needs a high-end desktop for the gaming. Stuff he does. So, actually, I hope he doesn't play tonight, because his latest game is Friday the 13th. He plays a serial mass murderer.
Hmm.
It's great.
Huh.
Fun. I hear the Jason music coming out of his coming out of his bedroom, and it's like, he's wearing a hockey mask. Get out of the room.
Okay. Does he play Forza? I just learned about that.
Forza is a driving game. He doesn't do any driving games, oddly enough. Forza is very fun.
Let
me show you, if you've got a kid going to school, there's a couple of suggestions I would make if they're using an iPad for sure. The Microsoft productivity programs are fantastic. Now, there's a limit to, you know, you might have to get, and your school may offer a subscription to Office 365, or you may have one that allows them to put it on your iPad. But Word is a great program. I mean, you've got Pages, but I think Word is kind of a more standard program for editing. And if you're going to use those, may I recommend, and we've mentioned it, I think, before, Office Lens. So this is a camera program that lets you can use it on your iPhone as well as on your iPad, that lets you take a picture of a blackboard or a whiteboard. So if the teachers put stuff on there, assignments or notes, it's a really great tool for taking pictures of that, and then it will add it into a document. See, you see how it's looking for a whiteboard, basically, and it will then frame it. It'll straighten it out, make it more legible, and even scan it into text if it can. So let's say a whiteboard. It's going to try to turn that into a whiteboard. Or I could say, here's a document. Let me get a piece of paper. We'll kind of trick it into thinking it's a document. How about that? I have... our advertising copy. Let me pull that out. That would be a document. And we'll have to detach this so that I can use it as a camera. But let me show you. This is really handy. So I'm shooting this at an angle. Well, wait a minute. Where's my hand? Oh, there. I'm shooting this. Wow, it's bright. Let's see. Okay. So now it's starting to say, oh, yeah. You can't see it, though, can you? Can you show my? Yeah, thank you. Let's get this here. So I have to get it far enough away. It helps you frame it, and then it will help you straighten it out. Okay, now it knows that's a document. I'm going to press snap, and it's processing it. And look at that. It straightened it out. So I took it at a very bad angle with very bad lighting, and yet I've got it in a form that I can actually read it.
That's nice.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. I can then, if I want, crop it. That's the original. So if I don't like the way it did it, I could say, oh, no, I'm going to do it by hand. And I've added it to my notebook, which is really, really handy. You can do the same thing with a whiteboard. So this is called Office Lens. It's free. It'll work without the Microsoft Office, but it works particularly well with Office because it can then import it into, for instance, Microsoft Word. Office Lens, it's certainly one of those apps you should have because your kid will be doing that, you know, taking pictures of somebody's notes, for instance, another kid's notes or what's up on the chalkboard, that kind of thing.
So they can play on the iPad all day and then just take pictures.
Yeah, they don't have to take notes anymore.
Okay, so maybe for smaller kids, you want to have some apps that are just fun for them, but also learn stuff. TinyBop is my favorite educational iOS app maker. They've made all kinds of things. We've talked about Robot Factory before, where you can create your own robots by different pieces. And they have a...
this would be for younger kids, probably,
yeah,
right?
They have an everything. This is, you can, it's a simple programming tool. So you can, let's see, let's go back to the home. And, okay, Megan. It's just a visual programming language. So you can make a prank or LOL logic. So you can drag things. It's like a snap circuit.
Does it teach you logic, though? Does it teach you like...
Well, yeah, you can watch the video. It'll show you
like
what
programming.
To do. Yeah,
okay.
Programming by just dragging and dropping. So yeah. Kind of something
cool.
If they want to have some screen time, some downtime maybe before they start their homework, and you instead of driving games or Friday the 13th games. This is for littler kids, though. But I really like all their stuff. And my favorite new app of theirs is called Space. If you really... want to learn about space, and who doesn't?
I think it's a good idea to encourage kids to try some of these educational games. Chances are, though, that it's like if you said this is healthy food,
yeah,
they just go, oh, yeah,
right.
Not, that can't possibly be any fun
to them.
So you have to trick them.
Yeah, my problem is like my kids get their 2 hours of screen time, and then they're like, and then can I have some educational? Like,
yeah, this doesn't count. This is educational.
That's when they'll play this. So this little rocket is going to go explore.
That's a shame,
space.
Though. You fried all those people on the ground before you went off. I guess that's why you have to explore now. You got to find somewhere.
Yeah.
You
so
can
what?
Hang.
So we could explore. I guess that's the sun, huh?
Oh.
And then I can see what things will melt on the sun.
Yeah.
And what happens when you throw rocks at the sun?
I keep trying to get Michael to do stuff like this. He just says, but Friday the 13th awaits.
Start him early.
Yeah. Well, he's learning some good skills, how to be a mass murderer, you know, things like that.
You're not saying that those violent video games teach kids to be violent,
I
are
hope
you,
not.
Leo?
God, I hope not.
What happens if I throw rocks at the Earth? Will they land in Earth's gravity?
Yeah, are you really learning anything here? What have we learned?
Look,
the moon's surface.
Astronaut poop.
No, really?
This is like putting ketchup on broccoli.
Yeah.
You're learning a little bit.
More ketchup, please,
you're eating,
Mom. Do you have any cereal killer ketchup? Because.
So tiny.
I like
bop.
That. I think the younger kid might go more for that.
Yeah. And they might accidentally learn something.
They might accidentally. Did you ever find, because you were talking about how you had to buy a calculator for, but now
I did.
We realize the reason that you would buy a calculator is because they don't want you to take an iPad or an iPhone mm-hmm. into a test or a mm-hmm. classroom. But for the day-by-day calculations, they don't have to whip out that TI-99 or whatever it is they're using. This is called Solver. Solver. And this is a very powerful calculator. Actually, everybody should have this on here. You can do currency conversions. You can do the kinds of functions that they go out and get those fancy calculators for. Obviously, all the trigonometry stuff, but even more interesting stuff. Percentage calculations, which I think every parent who has to give a tip might want this one. So you can actually, and it adds text, so you can supplant some of the variables and things. It's really, really kind of cool. It's got memories. It's very sophisticated. Here's logic, so you can build and XOR gates and so forth. This is a very nice calculator. It's called Solver. Let me show you some of the settings. Statistics, you can have line numbers on it, so it really turns into more of a programming environment. You get to choose some of the information, whether the trig is in radians or degrees, what kind of notation, scientific or otherwise. This is a very nice, which currencies to support, which units. Because you can sync it, you can actually sync it with your iCloud or your Dropbox, which means if you're doing calculations on your phone and you want to have access to those on your iPad later or on your Mac later, you can. Multiple drafts, how many drafts you want to keep. So drafts are previous calculations. Calculations are treated as documents, basically. So this, I think, is a really nice program. It's called Solver. It's a little confusing because I always thought it was Solver or something like that, but it's Sol, like Soul Train.
Like you're solving from the soul.
Solving from the soul. This is a classic, kind of one of those classic iPad apps. It's been around for the longest time, but still works on iOS 11 and works great. It's a very nice, very nice job.
All right. Well, I have something that my school district doesn't use, but if yours does, you should check it out. It's called Here Comes the Bus.
Here Come the Bus.
And it's an app to tell you
when's the bus coming,
which is great if you have a bus, which we don't. And you have to enter your school code. So I couldn't even really sign up because our school doesn't use it. But it uses GPS and it knows where your bus is, so you know when to get your kids out the door, which is pretty much one of the most stressful things in life.
So more districts should use this. But,
yeah, Here Comes the Bus.
They have to probably have the Here Come the Bus Master Edition.
Yeah, they probably have to buy that.
Something.
So then, of course, there's all the apps we always talk about. Khan Academy, Duolingo.
We could go on and on. If you're taking... Your kid is taking a language course, get Duolingo just for home. And I don't tell the teacher, because sometimes they say, no, we have Rosetta Stone. You can't use Duolingo. But it's a great way to add to your vocabulary and your overall understanding. And this one's fun.
It is fun. All right. Well, I got some news. We've got some questions.
Let's take a break because I want to teach you something.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
How to get a home loan or refi without the hassle, the pain, without traveling back in time to 1924. It's Rocket Mortgage, a 21st century mortgage solution from the best mortgage company in the world, Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans, it has, I think, $92 billion in home loans. Its services, they are number one in customer satisfaction from J.D. Power year after year, number one in mortgage servicing as well. They are a great company, and they want a place in my heart when they created Rocket Mortgage, because it's an entirely online mortgage process. No more going to the bank, you know, to ask for a loan, to beg, to plead for a loan. No more searching through the attic for all the paperwork or, you know, bringing in banker's boxes full of check stubs and bank statements. You can do it all on your phone, and you can do it in minutes. So what you do is you go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today, and you hook up your financial institution. They've got trusted partners with everybody. You hook those up, and that way they get all the information they need. And then their computers crunch it in minutes, sometimes in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credits, they'll offer you the home loan options for which you qualify. And you pick your term, you pick your rate. It's completely transparent, so you understand what's happening every step of the way. It's easy. Look how simple it is. Just go to rocketmortgage.com/iOS today and look at the video. You can see how easy this is, all from your phone. rocketmortgage.com/iOS today. Maybe you're not buying a house today, but put this on your bookmarks for your browser, so that when you are at that open house this weekend, honey, we should buy this house. We don't have a loan. Oh, yes, we do. There's a real power when you have. You can say, "Here, see, I'm approved to buy this house to that realtor." That makes you a much more desirable buyer. And nowadays, it's really a seller's market. It's good to have that extra weapon in your toolbox. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. RocketMortgage.com/iOS today. And I could send you that copy because I have it in my office lens. I could send it to you right now.
You could.
So you would have it.
All right, some news. Mark Gurman, tipster, iOS rumor, now works for Bloomberg.
I got a bone to pick, but go ahead, keep going.
Is this about he says that Apple plans to release a cellular LTE Apple Watch. Is that the bone you have to pick?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
pick your bones.
I watched Mark's interview on Bloomberg Television talking about this. And what he neglected to mention is they're practically the last company to do this. Mm. They act, every time Apple does something, they act like, oh, they've invented this. But in fact, you know, there's an LG makes an Android Wear watch with its own SIM card, its own phone number. It doesn't need to be attached to a phone. Samsung does the same thing, has done it for years. This is nothing new. Now, what's interesting is I don't think Apple's going to do, and Mark says Apple's not going to do what these other companies do. They're not going to allow you to accept phone calls on this watch unless you have the iPhone in your pocket. It's just going to have a SIM card for data, if I read his report correctly. Which, and by the way, what he doesn't mention is, well, how is that another subscription? How will you pay for that? What's going to happen? When it's LG with the Android Wear 2 watch, or Samsung with their Samsung, I can't remember, is the S3, you usually get it from the phone company. You buy it like you would buy a cell phone, and you buy a subscription to data. So there's a lot of question marks on this. It also generally adds to the bulk of the watch. The size of the watch is bigger because not only does it have to have the place for the SIM card, now it has to have radios, LTE radios, more than just a Bluetooth connection to your phone. In the past, you know, the way the watch worked is that all the phone did all the work, all the data had all the radios. All the watch did was pair to the phone. That's how we do it today. So this is interesting, but my bone, and I'm sure Mark knows that this is not a new product. And it may well be that Apple figures out how to make it more useful because, frankly, I don't wear that Android Wear watch with the it's just, you saw it.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And the same thing was, I had the same problem with the Samsung versions. They're just so big. So maybe Apple has figured out a way to put that in the Apple Watch without expanding its size dramatically. Not just size, by the way. I should mention, battery life plummets. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of work to be done to make these things useful. And I don't think it's much. So Apple's been working hard to make it possible for you to, for instance, go running with your watch.
Yeah, you can do that without the
without phone. Bringing your
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, you can have. That's what I've heard a lot of people talk about this. And they're like, then you could play music from your watch you while you're running.
That.
You can already do that.
What you can't do is stream music.
No, you can't.
So that's, and that's the one feature that Mark pointed out is, well, now you'll be able to use Spotify, or actually you probably won't be able to use Spotify. I bet it'll be Apple Music only. Maybe, who knows? We'll see. But so now you'll be able to stream. He also says they're going to release that this year. It's like it's the next watch. And Apple has not really been on a yearly cycle for the Apple Watch, have they? So we'll just wait and see. I believe it's true. And Mark Gurman says, you know, this is what my sources tell me. I know that that's true. But remember, Apple also does a lot of things that it doesn't release. Mm-hmm. So, and even Mark will say that. He says, you know, this isn't a guarantee they're going to sell it, but they are working on it.
Right. He always, yeah, they're working on everything.
Right, but they're working on a lot of things.
Well, Gene Munster, you know, analysts, favored analysts, said this is going to be a game changer. And I'm just like, I'm not an analyst, but I do not think this is going to change any games. Like, I just do not.
Well, it's as if, and this kind of bugs me a little bit. And here we are, we're covering Apple, I believe, and I like Apple, I'm not. But Apple fans act as if it doesn't exist until Apple does it. Mm-hmm. And this is it. It's been out for some time. This is nothing new. Apple just never did it before.
Well, no one with an Android phone could have an Apple Watch and use an Apple Watch before this. And, I mean, I think people probably
you
want that.
You can use Apple Watch with your Android. It just doesn't, it's not as fully functional.
Right, but you can use. You,
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, and you can use iPhone with an Android watch.
Wear watch, right.
Yeah, more easily.
Again, it's not. Yeah, that's right.
But
that's a better.
I can't get phone calls from my Android phone on my Apple Watch.
Right.
So no. Now, if you wanted that, if you wanted just the fashion statement of the Apple Watch.
Well, we don't know. Is that what they said? That now you'll be able to get phone calls?
I think so. I mean, if it's a phone.
Well, that's not. See, he didn't. Well,
yeah,
we'll just
I don't
have to
know.
Wait and see. My impression from what Mark said is it will not be a phone. It will be it's going to have LTE data. But not a phone,
okay.
Which would, in fact, keep it a little smaller because being able to, you can answer phones and calls on your watch, but you have to have your phone nearby, right? But the idea that you could standalone use your watch as a phone is a little more tricky, and would require another radio and require more size. And in fact, you can on the Android Wear and on the Samsung, you can talk on. You know, you don't need your phone. It's a phone, basically. It's a phone this size. I do think ultimately Apple's goal is absolutely to make the watch a standalone device that can do everything your phone can do. on a really tiny screen. I think that would be not a very good experience. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess if you wanted to, like, go hiking or go somewhere without your phone, like, I want, you know, I don't want any distractions on my phone, but I want to be able to have, like, my children text me if they need to. Then I guess that would do
yeah,
that.
You could get texts. You'd be able to get Apple messages. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those are data.
All right. Well, okay. So I would like to discuss this as an Atlantic article because I was out, so I haven't gotten to discuss it. I know
the
you talked
iGen.
That the iPhone has ruined a generation. I know that you and Jason talked about it on the screen.
We've talked about it a lot. I think it's very interesting. What do you think?
I think that it's something that I've seen for a long time, and I'm glad that a doctor is saying this because I think there are very specific. What she's basically saying, if you haven't read it, is that this entire generation, starting with the kids who got it, one of the first generation iPhones when they were 12, 13, 14, 15, that they are staying inside more often. They're having sex later.
Scroll down, Kevin, to the graphs because that really summarizes the whole thing in a series of graphs. The author, Dr. Jean Twenge, specializes in generational differences. And she's very quick to say, and I really want to say this, this is neither good nor bad.
No.
I'm just observing here.
Right.
So the line is when the iPhone came out. And you can't deny this dip, for instance, in hanging out with friends. When they go to the mall with mom and dad maybe, but they don't. Remember, we used to go out and hang out with our friends?
Yeah, like 6-8 hours at the mall.
Now they're spending time at home hanging out with their friends online.
Right.
On the device.
And they're not having sex as much as young because they're on their phone. They're whatever.
I would point out something. One more thing, and then I'll let you talk. I'm sorry. But I want to mention this on the graph. This is not a zero-based graph. Notice, and this is that's very deceptive, and I really hate it when they do this, that the numbers on the left don't start at zero. They start at 10 or 29, 1.9, whatever that is. And so you have to look at these graphs and understand that what looks like a huge drop is maybe not as huge a drop as it looks like. The graph has, in effect, been modified to make it look more dramatic, which is a disappointment. So you're going to have to use your big brain to figure out what it really means. But there's definitely a difference. Now, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure, because we're going to show those graphs.
So basically what they've said is they're physically less dangerous, but they're all in danger of depression and other mental health issues, more in danger. And she is sort of drawing the correlation, maybe the causation, it's unclear, from the use of the iPhone.
So 12th grade, again, show the graphs, would you? So a drop in the desire to drive. And I noticed this with Henry. Mm-hmm. Abby couldn't wait to drive. She's 25. Henry, who's 22, and in this generation, I'm not in a hurry to drive. That goes along with I'm not in a hurry to hang out with my friends. I'm just hanging out at home. Next one. This is the one that maybe is a little more concerning, is their social life. Less dating, less sex. Parents might like that. Keep going. This is the one that maybe is a cause for concern. More likely to feel lonely. Their happiness is lower. But again, note that on the left, these percentages this isn't from 0 to 100, which would look a little different.
And also, like, how often were we asking kids in, like, 1989, do you feel lonely?
Out?
Like, do you feel, like, how, maybe a lot of this depression was going undiagnosed in the past.
Well, it's interesting. Read the methodology, because they did try to accommodate that. And so they're not just asking kids. There's other ways you could find this stuff out. So it's, that's the concern is, you know, hey, they're safer than ever, right? They're not going out. And I think we're at fault for that more than the phone because of stranger danger.
Yeah.
We as a country became terrified of letting our kids out of the house. So some of that isn't the phone.
And I mean, and I will admit, like, I am a full-on feminist, but I have seen the way that I've pushed my boys out the door, like, go ride your bikes, go hang out downtown versus my daughter. Like, I don't, first of all, there's two of them, so they're always together, which is a little slightly different than just the one. Go hang out alone downtown. Go outside. Go climb a tree.
Yeah, it's different for Annabella if she's by herself.
But, you know, it is very hard. But I think the other problem with this article, and maybe she points this out in the myth, and it is a book. Like, I would like to read the entire book. I don't think this is just a problem with teenagers. I think all of us are like this.
I agree.
All of us are less likely to go out.
The difference is their brains are being formed
yes.
as children. They're growing up with this. we didn't grow up with it.
Right.
But you're right. They're just doing what we do.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can't really blame them for it. They're just doing what their parents and their role models are doing.
Right. But I think it is. I think that we are more likely to cancel plans. Like there was the New York Times, I think. I forget who wrote this. But that we're the like blowing off generation. We're the ones that say, yes, I would love to do that. And then, you know, would I really like to go out and have dinner with those people?
We invented ghosting.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but we can look at ourselves because we have adult, fully formed brains, and we had awkward moments where we had to talk to people.
Anybody who hangs around kids in this generation knows there is something different going on. Mm-hmm. That these kids, and whether it's good or bad, every generation, you know, rock and roll. My parents would have, actually, they didn't, but because they were hippies. But if they had been normal parents in the 60s, they would have said, turn that music down, cut your hair. You know, I mean, every teenage generation's job is to annoy their parents and to differentiate. So we know that that's going to happen and we're going to be upset about it. But I do worry about the amount of screen time they get. You see how much we spent trying to keep them from being on screen in bed at night. I think it's less likely to get sleep. There's another graph. Percentage of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders who get less than 7 hours of sleep most nights. And that actually didn't go up right away, but it has gone up considerably. And I think that's because of Snapchat and the advent of social media a few years after the iPhone came out. Didn't happen right away with the iPhone. But by, say, 2011, it goes straight up. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to make a value judgment on it. It certainly seems to be the case.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only judgment I would make is that it's very hard to be a parent, and you have to have constant vigilance and constant conversations. And it's so easy to just turn it off and say, like, okay, I cannot check your Instagram account anymore. I can't check your texts. I trust you. When it's so much can go on in that secret world of Snapchat.
But every kid needs to have a secret. Oh, I'm just going to argue the opposite point.
Okay.
I kind of agree with you, but I'm going to argue the opposite point. Fortunately, my kids are grown. I don't have to worry about it. I don't know what I would do if I had young kids right now. You know, Michael is sort of my responsibility, but as my stepson, it's really more Lisa's responsibility. And I, you know, I just can give input rather than direct it. But I think every kid needs a secret place, mm-hmm. right? You had your diary. And if mom read your diary, that was a huge invasion of privacy. So kids need that. Kids are going to grow up in this world. They're going to have to deal with it as adults. So rather than kind of shield them from it till they're 18 and then just say, hey, congratulations, social media, it's all yours. Maybe it's better to have them experience it, have them discover the negatives of it now. I don't know. And I think the biggest problem is their minds at this, especially when they're, you know, under, say, 13, are soft and they're malleable and they may learn patterns that are deadly that we didn't learn. On the other hand, they may be getting ready for the world they're going to live in, which is not the world we're going to live in.
Yeah, I think the secret place, I talk to my kids about this all the time. Like, if you want to say, like, if just go into your room, shut the door, curse out the window of the car, do all those things. But when you do it on social media, it's there forever. And I don't care if it's Snapchat that disappears. Someone can screenshot it. I don't care if it's your secret Instagram account that only the kids follow and the parents don't follow. You don't know what parents are checking, you know, your kids' Instagram. And so you have to present yourself in a certain way. That is the secret also. Like, social media is not you. It's not really who you are. And the younger kids realize that and say, present yourself in a certain way. Like, if you're giving the finger to the camera, like, that can be screenshotted. It can be seen by your employer, your future employers.
You're just teaching them fear. I think this is the new free-range kid. The old free-range kid was wandering around and having fun, and the new free-range kid wanders around in the digital world and having fun without parental supervision.
But it's always there.
You're teaching them to be afraid of it.
But it's always there. I'm like, go down to downtown and give someone the finger.
That's
like,
old-fashioned. Just don't post That's old-fashioned. It's the old school. You're doing what every parent, every generation has ever done. Be more like our generation. Be less like your generation. Again, I don't fully disagree with you, but I'm giving you the opposite argument, which I also think has some merit.
It is. Yes, it does. And it's so hard. And what I said 3 years ago is different than what I'm saying now. Like, we've been having this argument for like 15 years. Yeah. Like, when we used to do the parenting podcast and my kids were babies and yours were 10 and 12. Like, still had this thing where you were like, you don't understand what it's like to have a 12-year-old.
It's pretty hard to control them. And you'll see. It's getting harder and harder. I know.
So,
and they're going to, that's kind of it, is that, do you want them to do it secretly behind your back, Or do you want, it's the same thing with drugs and drinking, right? Do you want to suppress it so much that they end up doing it and you don't know it? They go to a friend's house and they drink. Or do you want to talk, have it be out in the open and talk about it? For instance, Lisa and I kind of agree with this. I always did this with my kids. Let's our kid have a sip of beer or wine so that they don't think it's some secret thing that only adults could do, and kind of make it that special thing. And we know in countries where that is more traditional, that kids grow up with wine. In France, for instance, there seems to be less alcoholism. I don't know what the actual numbers are. Boy, this is a tough one. And you, the first thing you said is the right thing, which is I would never judge a parent.
No.
You have to do what you have to do with your kids. You know your kids, and you know your values, and you have to do what you have to do.
Right. Yeah. Never judge. Constant vigilance. It's hard.
Talk with your kids. We both agree on that.
Yeah. Talk, and it's hard, and yeah.
And we have all the sympathy in the world for anybody who has to raise an iGenner. That's tough.
Yes, it is. But it's, you know, it is also easier than it was back in, you know, the cave people days.
We're doing an experiment. You're really checking up on your kids. You're keeping an eye on them. You're doing all the hard work. I'm just letting Michael do whatever the hell he wants. We'll see what happens. Yes. That's the game. Jason Voorhees. We'll see, you know, in 10 years, you know, and it'll be too late, but it's kind of an interesting social experiment we're running here in this country. All of us.
It's true. We all are. And hopefully it's not like cigarettes, so where it all causes some kind of mind cancer. You're right, though. I do go a little. I tend towards the anxious side, so I do go a little overboard. But
I understand that.
All right. Let's answer a few questions.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope they're easier to answer than that one.
Let's pick an easy one.
No, it's okay. Go, just fire away.
Wayne. He sent me a direct message on Twitter. I'm thinking of getting a 10.5-inch iPad Pro. Are they coming out with a new one in the fall, or will it just be the new OS?
That's a good question for Mark Gurman. I don't think they're coming out with a new 10.5 in the fall. That would be too soon, although they've done that before. We've seen a six-month cycle between new and old iPads. But this time, I think we'll see the spring. The iPads are now going to be updated in the spring, I think, because they just updated not just the 10.5, but the 12.9. I think there will not be any iPad news at this fall event. It'll be all iPhone and iWatch.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, I think because they just released, they never released two iPads in a year usually.
They have once. Oh. And it was very upsetting to all of us who bought it early in the year and there was an update in the middle of the year.
Okay, we have a comment from Brandon B. We talked about OCR apps, and I mentioned the Seeing AI app and people with vision impairments. And Brandon B. Says he uses KNFB Reader, which is $99. So I didn't try it out, but I trust Brandon. He has emailed me a few times, and he is blind, and that's what he uses, the KNFB Reader. And if you don't care about the cloud, because I guess everything doesn't get put in the cloud. And here's a stumper. I don't remember this. Mm-hmm. Mike writes, what was the voice reminder app you and Leo demoed for iOS called? It reminded you with a recording of your own voice? Do you remember that?
Boy, I don't. Is it chat room? Does anybody remember that in the chat room?
A reminder that
So you could record a reminder for yourself. I don't think that was this show. It might have been on Mac Break.
Okay.
Does anybody remember that one? Voice reminder. So you could say, like, hey, Leo. I dimly remember this. Hey, Leo, take out the trash. And then it would next time say, hey, Leo, take out the trash in my voice. Why would you want that? You annoy yourself, huh?
I guess.
I mean, I always use Siri's reminders. I think Siri's reminders are very good. Somebody told me, because I always have trouble with calendars. Like, I'm at the dentist, standing at the dentist's office. I'm setting my appointment. And I like to show off, so I go, I don't go, hey, you know who. I just press the button and say, make an appointment for the dentist Thursday, July 24th at 8 p.m. That should work, right? Never does. But if you say, remind me about the dentist Thursday, July 24th at 8 p.m., that almost always does work. It's much more reliable than the calendar. So
if you really want to be fancy, you can do it here.
Yeah.
Remind me to do this show.
That is one thing I use the Apple Watch for a lot is timers and reminders. Mm-hmm. Because it's there, it's right there when you want to use it. And timers are great. Like my tea timer is my Apple Watch. I'll just say, hey, set a timer for 5 minutes, and I know when my tea's ready. Because I may leave the phone behind, but I've got, it's mostly at home, but I've got the watch on all the time. Except today, which I forgot to put on because I was
that.
In a big hurry.
Then it's going to look like you had zero activity all day.
Well, that's why I do it, by the way. So that you never know if I really had zero activity or I just didn't wear the watch.
Mm. Or you're dead.
Or I'm dead, which you thought for a while.
I did.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
So here's one from Scooter X. Thank you, Scooter X. He's one of our chat mods. It's called Reminder, Alarm and Voice Reminders. It's the Remind Me app.
So, we should have reminded ourselves about that app.
Remind me to remember the Remind Me app. So let me see if I can find that. This is school messages. which one of these? Remind me, repeating reminders. Looks like there's quite a few of these. Not sure which one uses your voice. This is kind of interesting. Efficient school messaging. Remind is a free text messaging app that helps teachers, students, and parents communicate quickly and efficiently. By connecting school communities, Remind makes it easy for everyone to succeed together. How interesting. So teachers could remind schools, students to don't forget to bring your homework today. This is, look at that. It's not what we were talking about. So this is Remind, fast, efficient school messaging. This is cool. This is for teachers, students, and parents to communicate. I don't know anything about that, but look, we found something interesting. Reminder, I don't think it's that. Alarm, how about Alarm and Voice Reminder by Sergio Lucia. He wrote the other one, too. Use your own voice recordings or pick a song from your music library. So that, I don't know if that's the one we were talking about, but... that will let you do reminders in your own voice. I don't remember us talking about something like that.
I don't either.
Reminder, Alarm and Voice Reminders, Remind Me app. This is the one Scooter X was talking about, by Sergio Lucia. And it's free, which is nice. Mm. How about that?
Is it time for us to don some caps?
Don the headgear because... hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Why am I wearing a Lucho Libre hat?
Why are you wearing a Lucho Libre?
In honor of Ray Donovan. Did you see Ray Donovan?
No, is that a TV show?
Oh my God.
Sorry.
How could you not know about Ray Donovan? It's back. I think all the attention goes to Game of Thrones, which is fun.
I don't watch that either.
I'm wearing my San Francisco 49ers Lucho Libre wrestling cap, and she's wearing her massive cowboy hat for one reason only.
So you can't see my eyes. I'm rolling them at Leo.
You can only see my eyes because really, that's a good hat for you. That's
It's AppCap.
It's AppCap. This honors our app of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Why is my nose, just the little tip of my nose sticking out there?
That's, yeah. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes. This is a game. I like these train games that are, you know, where you plan a train. This is really an interesting one. It's called Mini Metro. $4.99. It's not free. These are best based on actual metro maps. So you get to kind of redesign the metro maps for London, Paris, New York City. I haven't unlocked Berlin or Melbourne or Hong Kong or Osaka or St. Petersburg or Montreal, San Francisco, São Paulo, Seoul, Washington, D.C., Cairo, Istanbul, Shanghai. Look at all these subway maps, and they're adding more all the time. But you realize how hard it is to plan a subway map. There are a couple of play modes. You have normal, endless, and extreme. Normal gives you a time limit, endless just until you fail. Extreme, well, I haven't even dared play that one. But let me just show you how it works. It's kind of fun. We'll start at the beginning. This is the very earliest one. This is the London Railway map. We've got three stations, and we've got the beautiful Thames River, and we've got some trains. It's Monday, 0 o'clock. Let's connect some subway stations. This is the square station. It had a triangle, and the triangle has a circle. Yeah. So now we have two lines. We have a yellow line, and these are the lines on the right, a yellow line and a red line. Everything seems to be working okay. If you needed to go to square from circle, you could transfer a triangle, right? All fine. Oh, wait a minute. We've added a new station. Maybe I better draw a line to the circle station, and I could also go circle to circle. Now I have a blue, red, and yellow line. These are actual, I think, subway stops in London, but not actual subway lines because you are now in charge. What will happen is passengers will start to line up. For instance, here's a passenger that wants to go to the circle line. They'll start to line up. So far, everything seems to be somewhat under control. Here's a guy who wants to go to square, so he'll have to ride one of these to the square line. Uh-oh, now we've got a little bit of trouble. We've got this guy wants to go to triangle. I could either go to circle and let him transfer or go to triangle. I'm going to set him up on the triangle line. And now I've put a tunnel under here. I've used up my tunnel. I only get a certain number of trains and tunnels. So there is a time limit because what will happen is passengers will start to build up. And once too many passengers, like here, he wants to go to the circle station. Oh, boy. And once too many passengers start to build up in a station, you've got some problems, right? So, finally, we got to see, he's going to load up those circles. Oh, thank goodness. So you want to keep everything flowing. And it gets harder and harder as you get more stations and more lines. It's really a very... Play the sound. Can you not hear the sound?
Can you make them crash into each other?
Make more sound. Because it's got a... Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Turn that up. It's got a very kind of... At first, soothing. They don't crash, by the way.
Okay.
So that's kind of nice because on other train programs, they crash. Now, it's the second week I get a new train, which is good because I want to put those trains on the lines that need... Which new asset would you like for your metro? I get to choose between a line or a carriage. I think a line.
No.
Yeah, I think John's right. John's... See, now I have this station needs to get to triangle. That's pretty easy. Now I've got a light blue line. I've got a new line, okay? Carriage would add capacity, right? But I don't have a capacity problem just yet. I might, in time, have a capacity issue. For some reason, I can't do that. I can do that.
It's good with the music. Otherwise, it would be very stressful.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why I wanted to hear the music. So the music is calming, but it subtly gets you stressed because you realize that as calm as everything is, things are happening here and we've got passengers. This is actually a great game. It's a puzzle game. Like a lot of these railway games, you have to kind of manage your resources well. Uh-oh, look at all those people waiting to get to the circle line. Oh, quick, get a train. But I need more capacity there because, you see, it's not... Oh, and I've redesigned this a little bit here to... Gosh, maybe I can... that will help because I'll now have this... Oh, boy, I don't know. You know, I've got a real capacity issue here. Can I add more to that? Oh, God, now I... You see the problem. You see what's happening. He wants to go to the circle. I guess I can do that. That extends the blue line, the light blue. Oh. Now, I don't know yet what the rules are about why I can't do this or that, but, this is so far, it's pretty well organized, but you start to have some appreciation.
For civil engineering
and the challenge, frankly, of creating a good subway system. I think I've reduced the congestion there. It's eventually going to look a little bit like the subway map of London. $4.99. It's a lot of fun. It's a chance to design your own metro. It has a lot of sharing features. It has.
Why is it called Mini Metro Dinosaur Polo Club?
It's from it's from the folks that do Dinosaur Polo Club.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love this. After your game, you can watch a time lapse of what you did. Yeah, so you can see where you went wrong.
I like it, but it needs more dinosaurs, I think.
And I will share this with you. Oh, one more fun thing. It does add to your messages. It adds some nice new icons. In fact, those are the icons I used to tell you I was going to be late for work. Some extra little black and white messaging icons. Design your own underground.
All right.
All over the world, mini metro.
You can also see what I sent you there. I sent you a little postcard
From Google Earth.
Yeah, there
tell
it
me.
Is.
So which is it? So this is us.
Yeah, there we are. You were a little late this morning, so I wanted to also
just
give
case.
You directions.
Where, if you forgot where we are.
Okay, so I have Google Earth on the iPad. It's the new version of Google Earth.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years in the making, and it's got some cool new features. And there's my big hat. Got to get my big hat.
Oh.
out of the way. So what should we do? Should we go somewhere? Should we go to...
So this is a great app anyway. Everybody
yes,
should have
everybody.
Google
but
Earth.
It hasn't
it's
been
fun.
Updated. It was about... It was like a 32-bit app before.
Oh,
so
they really
it wasn't
needed it.
Going to be...
So you searched for Twit. You found us.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can send it as a postcard?
Well, yeah. I could take a picture.
Nice.
And say, wish you were here. And
oh,
then,
that's cute.
Yeah, then I
so as you travel the world, and you send it via messages?
Yeah, you could also send
email?
It by mail, or you could tweet it, or I could airdrop
Facebook.
It to Anthony. Why not? I like to airdrop.
Poor Anthony. Why does Megan okay. keep sending me stuff?
So there's all kinds of new features. We can do the Explorer. Here, you could go protect Africa's wildlife. You could do the. Have you seen the brown bears of Katmai National Park, Alaska? That's a live video.
Oh,
or the ISS. Neat. Let's go to the ISS. Why not?
Wow.
Did you guys fasten your seatbelts? Because it's pretty.
So on Saturday on the screensavers, we did that ISS above, which is, in fact, I have one now, a little Raspberry Pi. We should set that up, John. But this way, you could see what the view is from the ISS
and I
at
could
any given time.
Save that image if I wanted to.
I'm re-downloading Google Earth. I had kind of stopped using it. I have to. So this is this is an educational app that I think kids would really enjoy playing with it because it's unstructured. It's just like mess around with this, and they'll learn things. Like there's the Berlin Radio Tower in Tokyo. What's it doing in Tokyo?
That's a really good question. But yeah, I mean, it used to not be so great on the iPad, but now it's got a lot of 360 degree. Like let's just.
Oh,
zoom
that is
right
pretty.
In
see, this is, to me, this is, don't tell them it's educational. This is the kind of app that would make a kid kind of learn stuff just by playing.
So, yeah, we could explore the brown bears of, let's go. We watched this on TNT the other day and watched them catch some fish. It was amazing. It's a live webcam.
Yeah.
You could.
They're probably sleeping right now.
Well,
yeah.
There's
bears
somewhere.
Are
yeah.
bears just not. No, really
there
weird.
They are. They're,
oh, look.
They're, yeah.
They're fishing.
Oh, come on.
They're
come
fishing.
Back to the camera.
They're
come
trying
on.
To
there
catch. See the salmon trying to get up the.
Yeah.
The bear's just going to get that. Oh, go. That's live?
Yeah.
Wow. That is actually pretty cool. See the salmon on the bottom of the screen trying to get up that salmon run? Those poor salmon. And then the just bears just go, yeah, keep trying while I eat you.
It's weirdly mesmerizing. I could watch this forever.
This is only interesting this time of year, but still very interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Go, little salmon.
Go, salmon, go.
Yeah, it's a live cam. I'm embarrassed to say how often I watch that. But I love Google Earth. It's free, of course. And
you're
I wish
right.
You could,
it's gotten a lot better.
I wish you could write on the postcard, like, wish you were here.
You could go on a trek into Kenya. That is cool. Mm-hmm. This is really neat.
Yeah, lots of 360-degree video.
See, I think this is the ultimate educational app because it's completely unstructured.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid can learn everything, you know?
Yeah.
Here we are in the Himalayas.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. I'm not you, me. You're in somewhere else. Whoa, look at that world.
I yeah.
Look at that.
Where am I? Bye-bye.
Wow. Wow, that is so cool. Well, that's actually the Alps.
It.
All you know, you see one mountain, you've seen them all. But that was the Alps, not the Himalayas. Wow.
Land art from above?
I just re-downloaded it because you're right. It's gotten so good. Let's go to Iceland.
Yes, let's.
You know, it's funny because Iceland isn't really icy. But Greenland is nothing but ice.
Did you see this art from above? This is...
Art from above.
Yeah. See that picture?
Is that art?
Yeah. It's Wish was created by Cuban-American artist Jose Rodriguez Garrada.
Oh, neat.
For the 2013 Belfast Festival.
Oh, look. There's a person in the thing.
The piece features a portrait of an anonymous local girl photographed by the artist in the process of making a pure and simple wish for the future.
How did he make that?
That's a really good question.
Did he paint it?
No.
That is super cool.
Yeah.
Art from above.
So really, none of us ever have to go anywhere, like the teenagers.
Right.
That's stay in our rooms.
You know, give the kid Google Earth and say, go in your room until you're 18.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need. And if you want, you can give him this Lucha Libre mask.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in this awkward position so my hat doesn't cover up my iPad.
I think it's fetching.
There we go.
You look like a fetching cowgirl. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for us.
We've done it all. We've covered a lot today.
We have. Don't tell Renee Ritchie.
What, are you taking off your shirt?
I just want to show you something.
Okay.
I ordered something to celebrate our friends to the north.
Oh.
A Canada t-shirt.
That's fantastic.
Oh, Canada.
That's not really his chest, Justin's real chest, is it? I mean.
It doesn't matter. There's, by the way, See the Grizzly.
Who is that?
That's a guy.
Serenity Caldwell?
Serenity Caldwell riding a moose. That's what it is.
Wow. So twit.tv/iOS.
I represent all of North America now.
I don't. Some days things turn quickly here.
We'll be back on our new time. I hope you noticed. 9 a.m. I didn't. 9 a.m. Pacific every Tuesday. That's noon Eastern, 1600 UTC. You can watch us live, twit.tv/live. Join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. And if you want to join us in the studio, as some fool has, all you have to do is email tickets at twit.tv, and we'll put a chair out for you. Thanks for coming by. And how should they just email Megan at twit.tv. Put a question up on YouTube, 30 yes. seconds or less. First name and city begins it. And email Megan with a link, and we'll put your question on iOS Today next week. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye. Should I take off my shirt or my hat?